Coming up next, I'm going to share some workplace norms that have got to stop. And then the Great Resignation is inspiring quick talk videos. And of course, we're going to take your calls. And it all starts right now. All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show. We're coming to you live from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville. Just after 1 Eastern time. If you're watching at this point, it's live. How you doing? We've got the chat room here that you can jump in and engage on the show. And I jump in from time to time because I have ADHD, which allows me to focus on the show and the chat room during our short breaks. So we'd love to have you join us there as well. The phone number, if you want to jump in on the phones, 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577 right there on the bottom of the screen. I am your coach, counselor, and cheerleader. Whatever you need. Sometimes it's all three. Gonna be fun, fun, fun today. So let's get right to it. I want to help you win at work and win in life. And you can't separate those two. You spend so much time of your life at work that I want you to experience tremendous meaning and make the money that you want as well. So that's what we do here. So let's get in here. I want to take on some norms that I think we have to collectively say, you know what? This shouldn't be. And if I'm at a place of work, and these norms have no chance of ever ending. There's no chance that leadership's ever going to address these. I think it's okay for you to go, you know what? Probably shouldn't be here. So let's have some fun. How about some fun ones here? I'm going to dive into some deeper stuff. But I thought, before I get deep, let's give you an appetizer, right? I like a good appetizer. Here's some appetizers of some workplace norms that if I could wave my Ken Cole. Oh, you know what? Let's do this. Let's do the red pencil. Feels like if I was going to remove that, I need the red pencil, right? They were correcting. If I could wave this magic red pencil, get rid of some of these little norms, it would help us. They are, how about the long email chains? Ay, ay, ay. Have we forgotten how to talk to each other? The answer is yes. I am a big opponent of the unnecessary email. Like, you're lazy, and so you're just going to go, well, I'm going to fire an email and wait for them to respond to me. As if no one else in the universe has anything better to do than answer your email that you could have gotten off your butt and went and talked to somebody, or you could pick up the phone and call. All right, I'm already down a rabbit trail. But can we get rid of the long email chains where 37 people all pipe in on a comment? And the worst is when it's a, yeah, I agree. Agree. I agree. I agree. 37 I agrees. Next, how about all the acronyms? All right, now I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to take a shot at Ramsey Solutions. We are the worst at the acronyms here. Every book title we have has got an acronym. So we'll go back and look at last year. We released three books. And Rachel Cruz, my colleague, her book was Know Yourself, Know Your Money. Know yourself, know your money. Four words. And they called it Kick 'em. K, know yourself. Y, know yourself. Your money. Kick 'em. What? So everybody calls it Kick 'em. No, that's not the name of the book. Then I saw my book come out, From Paycheck to Purpose, and all the internal emails were FTP. I can't even say it. From Paycheck, FP, to Purpose. TP, FP, TP. Every time I saw it, I thought, are we out of toilet paper? Stop with the acronyms. Just use words. By the way, if you haven't seen a theme here, stop with all the emails. Use real words. Talk. Stop with the acronyms. All right, let's keep going. How about the pointless meetings? How about we got to have a meeting to say we probably need about three or four more meetings? We had a meeting to say we have more meetings to have. Ay, ay, ay. How about, this is a personal pet peeve. How about somebody takes responsibility for the copy paper being out? Even if it's not your job to refill it, could you at least tell somebody? Can we do that? It's like, I got on my kids the other day. I got three teenagers. Hey, how about you stop putting the ketchup bottle back in the fridge that has only a squeeze in it if I jump up and down on top of the bottle? Let's go ahead and throw it away. All right. There's the appetizer. All right, let's take on some serious workplace norms that are driving things like the Great Resignation. 18 plus million people over the last 4 months left their jobs. Let's talk about distrust. Nobody trusts anybody anymore. We just assume the worst about our coworkers, about our leaders. Now, I understand that trust needs to be earned. I do understand that. But how about we start off with a sense of, well, maybe not all my coworkers are shiftless jerks. Maybe my leader isn't a blood-sucking vampire. Maybe we just try to give trust and allow for it to develop. How about leaders? We stop rewarding people who have no boundaries and work crazy, crazy hours. How about you stop rewarding those people? Because what's happening is you're creating a culture of that. Because everybody else sees who you reward. So now there's the physical and the mental and the emotional stress because you're rewarding people who are overworkers. In other words, you're rewarding unhealthiness. How about we remove, this is a workplace norm, inconsistent goals, expectations, and communication. That's a big bucket, but I'm going to throw those three in there. How about that's the normal mode of operation in our workplaces in America? Poor leadership is essentially what this is. Poor goal setting, poor expectation setting, poor communication. It's normal. How about we just stop doing that? Because the reverse side of that coin is hey, we communicate really well. We set expectations really well. Our goals don't change after 2 days. We're consistent. Here's a workplace norm that I think everybody just assumes it's going to be there. There's nothing I can do about it. So now I'm going to participate in it. And it is gossip. It's a workplace norm. It's a workplace norm. Some people have gotten so good at it, they don't even know they're doing it anymore. They're literally the hub of the gossip wheel. Everybody comes to the same person. They get some fresh gossip. They spread it out across all the spokes. And it's a normal way of doing business. And then here's a big workplace norm. By the way, it's so bad now 60 Minutes is doing the traditional 60 Minutes expose. Last night, 60 Minutes did a big chunk on this issue. Why are people leaving in droves? And I'm going to tell you why. Because of this workplace norm. Companies have put profits before people. Profits matter, yes. But it is a false narrative. It is a false choice that leaders, big corporations to small business owners, have to choose profits over people. You don't have to choose one or the other. You choose both. In fact, I would say that if you choose people, to value people, to train people, to develop people, to promote people, to care for people, your profits are going to take care of themselves. So those are some workplace norms that we need to remove, shall we? Hey, later in the show, I've got a job tip for you to get noticed. Don't move. We're just getting going. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. Do you want to make more money to do what you love with the people you love? Have you ever thought about bringing in more income by selling products on Amazon? I want to introduce you to Seth Kniep, the founder of Just One Dime. Starting with a single dime, Seth built a multi-million dollar Amazon business, and you can do it too. With 126 staff and Amazon expert coaches, Just One Dime has trained over 10,000 people from around the world, many of whom are now multimillionaires. Their award-winning online training, along with personal one-to-one mentorship, will walk you through the entire process, including opening your Amazon seller account, building your brand, selecting a profitable product, finding the right supplier, launching your product, and marketing and managing your online business. If you'd like to learn more, schedule a call today by going to jod.com/Ken Coleman. Again, that's jod.com/Ken Coleman. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. So excited that you're here. You're here because you want to get an edge. You want to get ahead, whether that's beat the competition for a good job, get qualified, beat somebody into a qualification process. You know, this is about winning. Has it occurred to you this is about winning? I want to help you win. Because if you're winning in your work, you got a great shot of winning in your life. And vice versa, if you're winning in life, you can win at work. We're going to help you. We're really committed to that this year, to help you in multiple areas of your life. Big news coming up on that. Alex, I need to talk to you. I need to make sure when I can announce that. I want to tell these people about all of my friends I'm bringing to the show in 2022. I want to go to the chat room really quick here on YouTube. If you're watching with us live, Lisa wrote in the chat room. I don't want to answer this, so we're going to get to the phone. Doug is waiting for us at Cedar Rapids, Iowa. But Lisa writes in, I'm interviewing for a step up in my current audit role, but I think I ultimately want to move into operations. What should I do if I decide during the interview that I don't want the position? Then trust that, Lisa. Don't say anything about it right there. You know, I wouldn't go, you know, record scratch and go, hey, I've just decided I don't want to do this. I'd like to go back to my desk now. And I know that's not what you're suggesting. But hey, once you decide, trust that. Trust your heart. You do the interview. I love that you're going to kick the tires. But if you find out during the interview that you don't want to do it, finish the interview. Don't commit right then and there. Say, okay, let me sleep on. I like to sleep on these things. And then tell them the next day. But in that moment, don't decide. But you don't need to announce it. But don't change your mind either. Love the question. And I love that you know which way you want to go, Lisa. So good stuff. If you need more, don't hesitate to call into the show. 844-747-2577. All right, let's go to Doug now, who is on the line in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Doug, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How you doing?
I'm living the dream, Doug. How can I help?
Good. Just a quick question for you. I am literally 45 minutes away from resigning from my position.
I want to make sure I heard that right. Did you say you're 45 minutes away from resigning?
Correct.
Precise.
my appointment's at 1 o'clock with my manager. See. So, okay. Yeah. So, what I'm doing is I'm going from a management role, that I've worked pretty hard throughout my career to get to this level. And I'm actually accepting a position that's lower in the hierarchy of management. So I wouldn't be a manager anymore, but it's with a different company. It's a work from home. It's great industry and the work I really enjoy doing. So I'm pretty happy about that. And my question is, a couple of years from now, let's say if I want to make a move somewhere, if I would set an application somewhere, how would it look to that recruiter? When you look at my career path going up and up and up, and then suddenly a downstep, how would that look?
How big of a downstep is it?
It's going basically one level. So I'm over quality engineers now, and I would be now a quality engineer. So I would be stepping back in one role.
How much of a step back financially is it?
None. I'm actually coming out ahead.
Okay, so you're stepping back into the work that you want to do, and you're moving from a leadership position back into, let's just call it execution, right? So instead of leading people that are doing, you're executing on it. You're doing the work.
Correct.
And you're getting a raise.
Yes. And I don't have a 54-mile each direction commute and all that. So there's time benefits as well.
Yeah. So did you hear the narrative you and I just unpacked?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything boneheaded in that narrative?
No, I agree. I just didn't know how a potential employer would look at that. In the
same way I looked at it. So I had to ask questions to get the narrative, but you're going to share that with them. You're going to go, if the recruiter's still looking, and they go, okay, what was the behind the last job change? You go, well, first of all, I have led, and I don't mind leading, or whatever you're going to say about leading as to why you stepped out. Or you could say, I enjoyed leading, but 54... The commute was killing my soul. Any person with half a brain understands that. A person with a quarter of the heart that you have understands that. So you go, it was a lifestyle change. And I went back, you know, I didn't lose my experience and I enjoy leading and now I'm ready to lead again. But that was a lifestyle change and I made more money to go back. So, I mean, there's just nothing wrong with that narrative. There's nothing weird there. There's nothing questionable there. Nothing that would hold you back from moving forward again. in my estimation. Right. Do you agree with my estimation?
No, I fully do. I just sometimes you can't get past those automated screeners
I get that, but you know better. You called me. You know I don't teach laying your future on the altar of the artificial intelligence machinery.
Yeah, yeah.
If so, I don't teach that anyway. And you don't believe that, so you're not going to do that. You're going to work connections and relationships, and when the time comes for you to step up or another opportunity allows you to step up, and they go, why'd you step back? You go, well, I did and I didn't, right? I had to forego a leadership position for my health, for my lifestyle, because the commute was killing me. Massive respect there. It's all about you controlling the narrative. And by the way, the narrative's a good narrative, so don't overthink it. Make sense?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds
congratulations. Good. Have you celebrated yet?
Well, see, it happens here in 44 minutes.
Well, wait a second.
No.
What? Are you going to change your mind?
No. It just, the last leg is doing this. But no, as a family and everything else, we're pretty excited.
That's what I meant. That's what I mean. This is a good decision. Yeah. This is not going to hurt you in the long term at all.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Nope.
How does it feel? Tell our audience how it feels to know that the commute and everything involved with that commute and getting that time back in your life, what that means to you right now.
It's actually life-changing. We were thinking about this. You know, I can work anywhere now.
Yeah.
And before I was very limited by my location
Good.
Sort of.
Good. You know what else? I'm going to hold you on the line here because I want you to teach, and I'm just interviewing you, so it's easy. You don't have to teach. No pressure. Just want you to answer the question. What fears did you have to overcome to take this job and step into this? Even though you called me with 45 minutes to go, it's kind of like, well, Ken's the last line of defense. Ken will talk me out of it. But that means it tells me you had to overcome some fear, true or false?
That's true.
What fears did you have to overcome to make this decision?
It's just the uncertainty of, am I making the right move for the future? And I know it's the right move for now. And I'm confident in the position that I'm going to be in the future. We'll still be there. Yeah. It's just, what if something happened in the future that is unforeseen, and how might that look? But
yeah.
It's really trying to get that story around it and move forward.
Yeah. So now, do you have a clear picture that this is not going to hurt your future? Do you believe that?
I do.
Good. Then hold on to that. Okay. You're a good man. Thank you for letting me pry a little bit, but I think a lot of people need to hear you, Doug, tell them that. I love that. Folks, and that's the deal. Like he knows in his heart of hearts that this is a life-changing decision. You heard him share that. It's life-changing for him and his family. Life-changing. Like, he's not throwing that around. Some people throw that around. You know what I mean? Like, I do this, unfortunately. I would call myself out. Somebody asked me the other day about... they were at my house and I had some pecan pie. They said, is this pecan pie good? And I said, without even thinking, it'll change your life. Well, that's not true. Like, that's great pecan pie, by the way. I'll tell you my source. I'll tell the team. I don't want to withhold. But I'm saying, we say things like that. You could hear in Doug's voice. It is a life-changing move for their family. That's a big deal. And yet, watch this, with all of the certainty, folks, that Doug had, that this is a life-changing move, he still had a lot of fear. So why do I tell you that? Because fear and doubt come with progress. See, we think that fear and doubt are bad, and they can be. They are mortal enemies. They will hold back progress. But what I'm trying to do is get on the front side of this. And I just want to share this. If you are experiencing fear and doubt today, the good news is that means you are thinking forward or acting forward. Because you can't think about the future or act on the future without experiencing fear and doubt. And so here's the flip side. If you're sitting home going, I don't have any fear or doubt at all anywhere in my life. Uh-oh, methinks you need to start moving forward and thinking forward. Speaking of, don't go anywhere. More Ken Coleman Show coming right up.
All
All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work and at life. Here's what the show's about. You were created to contribute. And you have got to stop going, well, I have purpose in my relationships, my personal life, but work's just a job. That's a bunch of garbage. There is purpose in your relational life, and there's purpose in your professional life. I want to show you how they come together. And I'll tell you something. If you're winning at life, you should be winning at work. Because if you're winning in life and relationships, but you're unhappy or just bored out of your skull at work, that's eventually going to go home with you. And if you're losing in life, it's going to affect you at the office. So we're going to help you win at work and at life. It's about you being the best version of you, not the version of somebody else on Instagram that you like or the version your mom and daddy told you you needed to be. No, we're talking about you being you. We want to set you free from all that garbage and help you see your greatness in your uniqueness, not the other way around. So welcome. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. Hey, last year gave a lot of people time to reflect on our jobs. Many of us reassess, what do we really, really want out of our work? I'm glad for this. I'm glad for the great resignation because I think people are realizing, hey, wait a second. There's got to be more to this. So this is your year to find the job that you absolutely love while it's still hot. The getting is good, folks. I've been telling you this. And that's why my friends at ZipRecruiter can help you, and they should be helping you because you should be signing up. It's free. They send you the right jobs, and you can apply to most of them with just one click. They may even send you an awesome job that you didn't even know existed. Sign up for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Ken, and put ZipRecruiter to work for you. Okay, we're going to get to a new trend that I just find to be spectacularly entertaining. But before we do, I got to get back to the chat room. I'm loving what's happening in the chat room here on YouTube. If you're watching live at 12:22 Central, so 1:22 Eastern time, you can engage in the chat room, and I like to jump over here. And I wanted to take on a couple quick things here. Let's see. Emily is the one I wanted. Starting week 6 of her new job. She's going to work 31 hours this week in preparation for classes starting soon. This should enable me to finish my junior year debt-free without dipping into other savings. And I just wanted to say, way to go, Emily. This is how it is a myth from the pit of hell that says you got to go into debt and you can't work your way through. You can't cash flow your way through. She's doing it. And I just wanted to give Emily an extra hug. This is a very PC hug because there's no touching. See, I'm just hugging like the way to go, Emily. And we're doing the air high five. Really proud of you there. So very good stuff. All right. So because social media has become pervasive in every area of life, there's more platforms. First, it was MySpace, and Facebook took over and gobbled everybody up. Then Twitter was up close on its heels. And then along comes Instagram, and then Facebook buys Instagram. And then there's, Snapchat. I never got into that one. I think I got an account over there, but I don't even know what to do with it. Like, it's that old. It's got dust on it. And now the big thing is TikTok. TikTok is literally taking over the world. And it's unbelievable. And so when you've got this, you know, ever-evolving, all-consuming social media, then the real-life stuff gets blown up on these platforms. And I got to get to the latest trend. Let's do it in the news. Okay, here's the headline, Insider. I think it's Business Insider. Here it is, TikTokers are going viral with Quit Talk. All right, so I got to say that a little slower for those of you that are middle-aged. There's a lot happening right there coming at you. By the way, I'm middle-aged, so don't anybody get offended. Quit Talk is what I said, not to be confused with TikTok. TikTok is the platform, social media platform, and a new trend is called Quit Talk. And these are videos of people quitting their jobs or talking about quitting their jobs or other people talking about these videos. The hashtag, quit my job, has a 194. This is, people have no time. They have too much time on their hands. They have no life. Hashtag quit my job has 194 million views, while hashtag I quit my job has 41 million views. The resignation rate in the U.S. is now at a two-decade high, and we know all that, right? And so what happens is people that are on TikTok, they go on and they create these videos known as quit talks. And they'll either preparing for it and they're giving us the inside baseball. They're showing a spicy resignation letter or they're showing a video. And I don't know. We got. Can I tease this now? Okay. Special bonus session segment, actually, at the end of the show today. I'm actually going to play some of these for you in real time. I've never seen them before. And I'm going to comment on them. This should be great fun. So that's coming up. Bonus episode, a bonus segment on YouTube only. So YouTube folks, you get the bonus stuff. That's coming up in just about 20 minutes. So it's unbelievable. And so this is happening more and more and more. And part of this phenomenon, by the way, is people just going, I don't want to just burn a bridge. I want to detonate it with C4 explosive. Like, there's burning the bridge, and that's kind of a slow thing. These people, they're just like, they don't even care. I don't know if it's one of the ones you're going to show, but I saw one of these a couple months ago where a gal quit on TikTok at Walmart. Are we showing that one? So I'm not ruining it? Okay, so I can talk about this one. This gal, you know the old microphone at these big department stores? Or you know, it's like a microphone, and they can go, paging Earl to landscaping. You know, whatever they say. This girl grabs the microphone and proceeds to destroy her leader, who's a real creep. I mean, it was R-rated. It was R-rated. She goes after this dude. This is what he did to me. This is what he said to me. Then she starts doing a attaboy, attagirl speech to her colleagues over in sporting goods and the people over in grocery. She's like, hey, if you want to get out. It was kind of a Jerry Maguire moment, you know, where he grabs the goldfish and he's like, who's coming with me? This gal just goes off. And understand, this is in the middle of the shopping day. So imagine, I'm just picturing all the senior citizens that are at Walmart, right? And here's some old lady and she's trying to find the frozen peas. And all of a sudden, she hears this young voice over the loudspeaker, just going off, R-rated, just accusations, destroying, dropping F-bombs. I mean, right and left. It was bonkers. And the video of this girl, okay, she's got the phone right here, and she's got it propped up, and she's just letting it rip. And so that's what's behind all this. Do I think it's okay to do this stuff? No, I don't think you should ever blow up a bridge. Okay? But the point is there's so much angst out there in society. And I will tell you this. Like the girl's strategy or not, agree with what she said, how she said it, irrelevant. Because here's what I know. Hurting people hurt people. And I see somebody on TikTok or Instagram or Twitter, and they're going after somebody. I mean, knives out, going after it. Well, that was awkward. I don't know what happened in the background there. That's interesting. Never had that happen before. The John Deloney Show, my colleague. We'll give him a quick plug since it's flashed behind me while I'm live. Hurting people. So here's what we've got. Is it okay to do this way? No. But can we also say we have a leadership crisis? People are devalued. People are angry. Should never happen. Should never happen to the level that it's happening. So there's a lot of angst out there. And these people blowing at bridges, acting like it's never going to come back to haunt them. See, that girl's going to be up for a job. You watch 15 years from now. And somebody's going to see it and go, oh. Now she's going to have to explain. So don't move. More of the Ken Coleman Show coming right up. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. So excited you're here with us. We're helping you win at work and in life. It is possible to make the money you desire and experience the meaning that you long for. I'm just telling you. And we teach you how to do it here. So I don't know where you are in this process. It boils down to some of you have no idea what you want to do with your work. You have no idea what a dream job could look like. I got good news for you. If you're using your talent, what you do best, to do work you love, which we call passion, to produce, to create results that matter deeply to you, that's what we call mission. When talent, passion, and mission are in alignment, that's a dream job. You'll experience work like you've never experienced before. And by the way, you'll see incredible results and growth as a result of that. Think about if you spent 75% of your day doing work that you're really good at, 75% of your day doing work that you really enjoy, and 75% of your day producing results where you go, that connects to my heart. Now, folks, that's possible. Some of you are going, why 75%? Because I'm a realist, and that's a rule of thumb. Because some of you out there think so hard, I have to say things like that. And there's no perfect job. But you can experience tremendous fulfillment in your work. And by the way, that affects your personal life in a really, really good way. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Brentwood, California. Lauren is there. Lauren, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you doing today?
Living the dream,
Lauren.
Thanks
for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
So I wanted to talk to you about, we're thinking about moving out of state from California, and there's like a stigma around people moving from California. And I was wondering how I can help get past that to get to the interview process.
Well, I got to tell you something, the only stigma, and I don't, you know what, let me say, it's not a stigma. It's just an observation. Let me change your language. There's no stigma about people moving from California. It's an observation, meaning I see California license plates in my neighborhood more and more, and I'm making an observation. You know what my observation is, Lauren?
What is that?
Thank you. I was waiting for you to say, what is that, Ken? My observation is those people figured it out. Good for them. I have two observations. My first observation is good for them. They realize that the leaders of California are literally trying to dump that state into the ocean. It's like they're nosediving on purpose. And they're going, okay, great. They can't deal with it anymore. They want to be free. That's my true observation. My second observation is, gee, I hope they don't vote like everybody else there in California, because if you come to Tennessee and vote like Californians, you're going to screw this place up. That's my real observation. So there's no stigma. There's nothing for you to be worried about. Nobody's going to go, oh, Lauren's from California, so we can't hire her.
I went to school in the Midwest about 10 years ago now.
And you grew up around people and hung out with people who judged people from the West Coast, right?
Exactly.
Well, that's a you problem. Are some Midwesterners going to look at you that way? Yeah, but what's the narrative? You're actually not a Californian. You're a Midwesterner. True or false?
True.
All right, then. So go, hey, we lived out there for a time. Say what Midwesterners you think they need to hear. But, I mean, no one's going to look at you and go, oh, you're a California fruit or nut, and we can't hire you. The reality is this is the hottest job market we've ever seen. So you control that narrative. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Doesn't matter where you're coming from. What matters is why you're coming to them, right?
Yeah, I guess my concern is like a lot of the job applications are online, so I guess I was just afraid that they'd just kind of cull the herd.
Well, that's happening. Well,
that
is not the case.
Okay.
They are going to base that on that artificial intelligence, and that software they're using is going to be about your resume, keywords in your resume, some of the answers that you give. And so you cannot rely on just submitting your resume cold and hoping it makes it through the lottery of artificial intelligence software sorting systems. You're going to have to really work those relationships. Are you heading back? Are you trying to apply for a job at a company that's back in your old stomping grounds, or a completely new place with no connections?
Completely new.
No connections at all?
No connections, yeah.
Well, you're going to have to work hard to find a connection. Really hard.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to give you a copy of my brand new best-selling book, From Paycheck to Purpose, okay? And it's got the entire clear path laid out for you. I want you to read it and do it, especially focusing on stage three of the seven stages, which is get connected. You can do this, I promise. Thank you for the call. Don't move, folks. More of your questions coming up. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. If you're watching 1:37 Eastern Time, you're watching live. And I'm going to jump over live into the chat room. Scott Henson's got a great question. I want to answer this. He said, Ken, my boss has asked me what my dream job is. Boy, that's a great, first of all, I want to, like, I'm a basketball fan. I'm going to do a 20-second timeout. That's really great. Like, good on you, leader. Good on you. I'm trying to help as many leaders as possible begin to have these conversations with the team. If you feel like a guy like Scott may not be on the right seat of the bus, instead of just kind of ignoring it, leader, why don't you sit down with Scott and go, hey, Scott, what does your dream job look like? So back to Scott's question. Do I tell her specific characteristics of my dream job, or do you think I should decide on a specific job within my company? I think it's both and, Scott, if possible. Let me explain my answer. So let's go back to what I define as the dream job. And by the way, folks, I am really simplifying this because I think if I walked out on the streets of Nashville or New York or Los Angeles or any city in America, and I had a camera crew and I said, and I went up to people and I said, tell me your definition of the dream job. I think it'd be wild all over the place. I just do. And so I want to simplify it. When we talk about a job, a place of work, and you're doing something, here's what the dream job looks like. Where you spend most of your day, you get to pick the percentage. I like to say 75%. I mentioned this earlier in the show. Well, you spend most of your day doing work that you're really good at, using your talents. Then you're doing work that you love. So you use those talents to do work that you really enjoy. I like to use the gauge of high emotion, high devotion. If I have high emotion, positive emotion, I look forward to this task or this role. And when I'm in the middle of it, I really enjoy it. And then I really want to get better at it. I like to do it. That's devotion. I'm doing it all the time, looking forward to doing it, trying to find ways to do it better. High emotion, high devotion, that's passion. So I use what I do best, talent, to do work I love, passion. And then the final piece is to produce results that matter to me. So a lot of people have got talent, passion, but they don't have the third piece. And that's why it's not a dream job. So when I use what I do best, talent, to do work I love, passion, to watch this, produce results with my work that I really connect to personally, I'm in my dream job. For me, I was in sports broadcasting before I went this line. And I'm going to tell you something. I had the talent and it was passionate work for me. I love broadcasting. I love performing. I love speaking. But it was producing an entertainment result, which there's nothing wrong with that. But for me, it didn't connect to my heart. Now I coach on the air. I equip on the air. I teach on the air. I encourage on the air. And so that's the result that I connect to. So, Scott, I would, if you can find a position in the company that allows you to use what you do best, your talent, to do work you love, passion, to produce results that matter to your mission. If you could find that in the company, I would lay it out that way. I go, here's my top talents. Here's my top passions. Here's my primary mission. By the way, go to kencoleman.com and get the Get Clear Career Assessment. 20 minutes later, you're going to have a purpose statement that you could read to your boss and show her and go, this is my purpose at work. And I think that position exists here or here and here. So it's both and if you have a job there. Now, I can tell you right now, Scott's in the chat room. I can't hear him. I know what he's thinking. Scott's going, well, what if I define the dream job position and there's not a clear definitive seat on the bus? Well, Scott, do you want to work on purpose? Because this is the chance you take. But your leader asking you what your dream job is, implies they might be open to creating a position and say that. Go, hey, is there a position we could create where I could take this off of someone else's plate and this off of someone else's plate and this off of someone else's plate and I create a dream job and I'm taking stuff off of someone else's plate? So don't be so scared of it is my point. Don't be scared of that at all. Don't be scared. Because if you can, with confidence, lay out what your dream job is, even if they don't have it for you, they're probably not going to kick you out. And now all of a sudden you're forced to confront the fact that you haven't been doing that kind of work and life is too short to just keep on going in for that non-dream job, and that you can find a way to get qualified, to get connected, to get started, and get promoted up into that dream job. You can do it. It is possible. So thank you for jumping in on the chat room. Okay, so one of the things we're doing in January, every show, we're doing what we call the job tip of the day. All right, so here's some interesting data. 76% of recruiters look at social media accounts before making a hiring decision. Whoops, for some of you. Scrub your social media profile today, but don't just scrub out anything stupid. Of course, we want to move, you know, anything dumb, anything that's questionable, anything that's obviously highly offensive. Obviously, scrub that. But here's something the flip side of that. How about putting something interesting and impressive in your social media? Because some of you actually have nothing to scrub. You're going, well, Ken, I've never done anything stupid, and if I have, I certainly wouldn't post it. Well, okay, great. How about populating your social media account with something impressive? For a straight week, post something that's great. Show you're a family person. Show that you've won awards. Things of that nature. So there you go. Job tip of the day. Scrub it for the good. Put something, get the bad out, put the good in. That's what I'm saying. There it is. Job tip of the day. All right. By the way, you know, that's a key point. You know what I mean? Some people don't even have social media accounts. So I'm anticipating another question. So for some of you, you're going, hey, Ken, I don't even have social media accounts. Is that a bad thing? It might be. Because if employers want to go do an assessment on you, maybe you should put something out there. Maybe you should. You know, maybe you should actually look into, okay, if I were to put up a social media account, could I put enough up there that they get a good snapshot of me? Because here, let me tell you what happens. If an employer, by the way, again, the data on this, 76% of recruiters are looking you up on social media to get a sense of who you are. So if you don't have a social media account and they're looking up three or four other candidates that are in competition with you and you've got nothing and these other people have something, then I will tell you, absent of using the strategies that we teach here on the Ken Coleman Show, and so you're not connecting with them, they're filling in the void. They're going, well, I don't know anything about Sue. I don't know anything about Larry. But I know something over here about Fred and Sharon. So if I have zero social media, I'm not saying you got to like all of a sudden spend all your time on it. But I would look into it. I would look into putting something up there. Let's see here. We're going to go back to the chat room. Do you think the view, this is from Amanda. Do you think the view of employees will change for the better due to so many people moving on with finding work elsewhere? This is a very insightful question. Great question from Amanda. So you got 18 plus million people have changed jobs over the last 4 months. And this is what they're calling the Great Resignation. And what she's saying is are people going to change their mind for the better after they hop around? And I think it's possible that that happens. Some people are always just going to kind of keep looking for the grass is greener. But I think a lot of people are going to realize what I've been teaching on this show for a long time. I'm not going to stop teaching it. That if you move to a job just for a paycheck, the paycheck is going to wear off. You know, you're staying a little tall. I got more money in my account and I'm feeling really good about this. Eventually that wears off. And if you don't find yourself in your sweet spot, using what you do best, your talent, to do work you love, your passion, to produce results that matter to you, mission, then I'm going to tell you something. You're going to look up and go, the grass wasn't greener. I know that now. So I'm going to change my mindset about the type of job I move to. I do think that's going to be a very positive thing that will come out of this. I really do. So really, really insightful question, Amanda. I think people are going to decide after all this moving around, why did I move in the first place? Did I scratch the itch? And for people that are mature and for people who really want to do work that matters, I think that's going to be a big, big takeaway. So, all right, this is fun. For you folks on YouTube, stay put. Brand new segment, bonus content coming only for you on our hashtag #IQuit. For the rest of you, thank you so much for watching. Until next time, this is The Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Christy Wright Show.
Hey y'all, I'm Christy Wright. You know, it's so easy to feel stuck. You live life just going through the motions, doing dishes, doing laundry, carpool lines, and a whole list of commitments that bring you no joy. We say yes to what everyone expects of us, and we have no energy or time for what we want. And let's be honest, most of the time, we don't even know what we want. Why do we live like that? God certainly never called us to. You know, I believe that the life God has for us is bigger and more amazing than any of us realize. That's why I want you to check out The Christy Wright Show. Every week, we will fire you up to break through what's holding you back and inspire you to create a life you love and are proud of. Each episode will help you build confidence in yourself and the God that created you.
Subscribe to The Christy Wright Show wherever you listen to podcasts.